You're listening to Upfront. I'm Brian Edwards-Tieker.
And I'm Antonia Yuhas. We've got obviously some very big and continuously breaking news happening this morning. We now have 8 explosive devices identified as pipe bombs that have been sent to leading members of the Democratic Party and their financial backers. Just to make clear who's received these pipe bombs and who they've been addressed to, not all actually made it to their intended recipient. We have the former president of the United States, Barack Obama, his former secretary of state, and the former Democratic presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton, Obama's former attorney general, his former CIA director, with a package sent to CNN, his former vice president, a leading Democratic financial backer, one of the largest, George Soros, 2 different packages sent to leading Trump critic and target of his wrath, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, both to her D.C. and L.A. offices. And the packages with the return label to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the former DNC chairwoman, and now the latest, Robert De Niro, a leading outspoken critic of the president, as well as, again, a Democratic financial backer. Because the pipe bombs have been so similar, the working theory is that they have all been sent by the same person. That is because of the similarity of the packaging, the similarity of the return labels, and the similarity of the explosive devices. No one has claimed responsibility. No authorities have speculated yet on a motive or a possible guilty party. However, as the attempted targets have been a very clear list, have very clear similarities. Their political affiliation, obviously. And in addition, being sharp targets of Trump and the right. And because the vast majority of acts of terrorism that have taken place on U.S. soil have been perpetrated by white ring extremist groups, including and most famously the Oklahoma City bombing, we're going to take a look at white wing extremism under Trump to get a sense of the history and context of these type of the targets that have been identified and the type of domestic terrorism that has traditionally happened in the United States. And to navigate this territory, we're first going to be joined by our first guest, who is David Neitwert. He's an investigative journalist and a contributing writer for the Southern Poverty Law Center. He has a new book out, and I'm going to find the title. Excuse me. Here it is. The Rise of the Radical Right in the Age of Trump. He's spent more than 2 decades studying the radical right, and he's with us this morning. Thank you so much for joining us, David.
Pleasure to be here.
So let's just start with what we know about the devices that have been sent and the targets. When you heard this list of targets, what was the first thing that came into your mind?
Well, it's pretty much, it looks like a classic right-wing extremist sort of act. Certainly the targets are all mainstream liberals who are prominent on Donald Trump's target list as well. And that, of course, sets up, you know, makes it very clear that, at least from on the surface, this person is acting as, you know, basically a proxy for Trump.
And is there precedent for this, you know, this number of pipe bombs, the use of pipe bombs domestically? Can you talk about any sort of history around the chosen device and any, as I said, any precedent for this type of action?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the use of pipe bombs by right-wing extremists goes back really to the 1980s. I covered a fairly well-known pipe bombing trial in Washington State in the 1990s, where a group of militiamen were making pipe bombs with the intent of performing acts of terrorism. And some of the most, some of the better known cases have involved mostly attacks on abortion clinics. Mm-hmm. But it's very common for pipe bombs to be used by right-wing extremists, partly because they can just make them in their own basements. And you can do it with gunpowder. that you buy from the ammo store. So this isn't not real high tech, and it's something that can be done, like I say, pretty simply. Although it's not as simple as they like to think, quite more than a few right-wing extremists have actually blown themselves up making the things. It's got a long history of use by right-wing extremists. Whoever is doing this is doing it with exactly the same device. And what we're seeing is, what we've seen, for example, the CNN device had a little sticker on it that was a fake ISIS flag that said, "Get her done," which is actually a right-wing thing. So
that phrase is a right-wing thing, you're saying?
Yeah. So, at this point, you certainly can't rule out that it was a false flag, that somebody did this with the intent of making the right wing look bad. But considering how far spread it is, I'm not really finding that very likely.
Well, and also, as I understand it, the device that was dropped off at Soros's mailbox was detonated by authorities so that it wasn't an inoperable device. At least that's what's being reported. And so you've written about the rise of violence associated also with a rising right wing since the 1990s. Do you see this? Can you talk about the potential for the use of violence among these groups of this scale?
Well, sure. I actually think, one of the things that definitely frightens and disturbs me most about our current political scene is that I think the radical right is being ginned up to unbelievable levels of violence right now, and they're being encouraged to it from the very top levels of the government. I think it's frightening that basically we have a president who's more or less encouraging people to go out and do this because he is telling everyone that Democrats, he's been basically demonizing Democrats for the last 2 weeks at a pretty amazing rate, saying that they're wildly out of control and they're super violent and and they've been all of these basically that they're not fit to govern. And not only that they not only are not fit to share the government, that they can't actually be governed. That's part of the message that he's sending. This is classic eliminationist rhetoric, which is something that we've definitely seen arising on the right over the last 10, 15 years.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, eliminationist rhetoric is rhetoric where you basically depict your opposition as vermin, diseases, or basically objects fit for elimination, objects fit only for elimination. And it's part of the dehumanization process that enables people to conduct these kinds of acts, because in order to reach the level where you're willing to send a bomb, or you're willing to drive a van into a crowd of people, or you're willing to do all of these various horrible acts, you have to dehumanize them in your own brain. And that's exactly what these people are doing. Once you've turned someone into an object fit only for elimination, it becomes very simple to commit a violent act against them.
Is there something to be made? One of the things that I found a little confusing is there's discussion among law enforcement that these devices are sophisticated, yet there's a lack of sophistication seemingly represented in the fact that, for example, John Brennan's name was misspelled. Wasserman Schultz's name was misspelled. Biden's address was wrong. Eric Holder's address was wrong. Is that say anything?
Well, no, actually, part of the process actually is that these folks have very different profiles, very different personality profiles. And the fact that this person can't spell very well or makes mistakes with addresses, that's a very common kind of thing. I wouldn't read too much into that.
Okay. I guess, thank you for that. unfortunately, that's all the time we have this morning. I really want to thank you very much for being with us. Our guest, David Nightwort, an investigative journalist and a contributing writer to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Thank you again for being our guest this morning. His new book is The Rise of the Radical Right in the Age of Trump.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Upfront on KPFA. Our next guest is Timothy Johnson. He's a research fellow at Media Matters, where he specializes in public safety and right-wing extremism. Thank you for being with us, Timothy.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
Good morning. We wanted to talk about the targets of these devices that have been mailed out, now 8 targets, and their prevalence in right-wing media. And of course, Media Matters' work is dedicated to comprehensively monitoring, analyzing, and correcting conservative misinformation in the U.S. media. You monitor extremism in the media. And we wanted to learn, when you heard these names in the work that you do of who the targets were, what came to your mind?
Right. Well, so the list is growing. This seems to be an ongoing incident, which is very scary. But they are a lot of the names that have been targeted for the most vitriol by conservative media. And I want to note, we don't know who's behind these bombings. But one name that stood out to me is that today, now it's been reported that Robert De Niro received a suspicious package. And, he is someone, one of the celebrities, many of them are outspoken about Trump, but he is someone who has been very high profile in doing that. He gave that Tony's award speech where, he criticized the president with profanity. So if you look at who a lot of very, very far right people have zeroed in on, De Niro would be on that list. Eric Holder received a suspicious package. And, a couple weeks ago, this big thing was made about how Holder, metaphorically said that, when Republicans go low, we kick them. Later said he wasn't saying anyone do anything illegal. He wasn't talking about violence. He was speaking rhetorically, but, there's this bad faith effort by a lot of members of conservative media to, say he was calling for violence. And then another name that pops out is, Maxine Waters, who was, one of the most outspoken members of the House calling for Trump's impeachment. That has led to her being targeted, by very far right, media figures.
Can you talk about the nature of the discussion in right-wing media? And again, as you've said, no one has claimed responsibility and nobody has been identified by law enforcement, either domestic or foreign, as responsible for these actions. But these are names, as you've said, that repeatedly appear in conservative and extremist media. Can you talk about the sort of breadth of what we're talking about here in terms of what comes up in mainstream media? Because there's not only the mainstream media itself, there's also, of course, the dialogue that gets created in the chat space for the right-wing media and conservative media. What has been said about the people who are on this list? How far has the discussion gone, both in terms of the media itself and then within the discussion that is generated by the media?
Well, you know, I think about Maxine Waters, that has gone as far as, you know, death threats. You know, Alex Jones has devoted a huge amount of time to attacking her, including like producing a special video called Mad Maxine. You know, it's really ugly. So we also monitor, if people are familiar with 4chan, so many of these people who have received the devices are people who have received extreme vitriol and threats on 4chan. And I just want to note something about yesterday that's kind of interesting about, you know, what is the tactic or message here from, you know, some members of far-right media. So yesterday morning, as the story was breaking, we knew that there had been suspicious devices sent to the Clintons and to the Obamas. At the same time, there were other reports floating around, perhaps, you know, a suspicious package had been sent to the White House. That turned out not to be true. So what we documented for our website, Media Matters, you know, in this swirling chaos of conflicting reports, the one thing that these far-right people could agree on is that the devices sent to the Obamas and the Clintons were false flags, you know, that they were sent by, you know, not, you know, someone who actually has an issue with them, but someone who's trying to create, you know, an issue that makes conservatives look bad. But
so just so I'm clear, to interrupt, the term false flag, just to be clear, that doesn't mean, I think as I misunderstood it, to mean that they're not actually intended to be explosions. They're not necessarily, they could still be intended to cause the desired maiming or death in the case of a pipe bomb, but they're sent by the same, actually, why don't I let you describe it? Why don't I let you define the term?
You're getting there. That's absolutely right. So yeah, false flag doesn't mean that the bomb or the device is fake. Okay. It just means that it's you know, conspiracy theory. That means that the people targeted by these attacks generally are actually the people behind it, and their motivation is that they want to create the perception that their political opponents have gone so far over the top as to send them a bomb, but you know, it's actually them. And this is something, you know, this kind of follows the playbook that we see after major mass shootings that make national news. You'll have, you know, conspiracy theorists and very far right people saying, oh, well, you know, this is a false flag, and the goal is so that people will be angry and will have more gun control.
And you were in the midst of making a point, though, that the right wing discussions were first about these being false flags, potentially false flags.
Right. So that's what we saw. So, yeah, so details are totally swirling. You know, we know law enforcement has said that the pipe bombs or potential devices sent to Obama and Clinton are connected to the one that was left in George Soros's mailbox. And then you have kind of some other unconfirmed reports. Some, you know, the White House, there's a suspicious device sent to CNN that later was connected, by the time it wasn't. So, you know, it's really hard to stake out a claim about what exactly is going on, but these far-right figures kind of gave away the game by saying, well, you know, we know that the devices sent to Obama and Clinton were false flags. You know, and of course they didn't say the same thing about, you know, the device that people thought that was sent to the White House, and it turned out that that wasn't even something that actually happened.
And is there now more of a willingness to see these not as false flags? Has that tenor changed among the right-wing media?
Not among this crowd. So I'll talk to, I'm talking about with the false flag thing, pretty far-right media figures, although here's what's really disturbing. It's kind of bled into more mainstream conservative media figures. So I wouldn't call, you know, Rush Limbaugh mainstream, but, you know, he's more mainstream than someone like, you know, Michael Savage or Laura Loomer, who's doing the false flag thing. So Limbaugh on his show yesterday pushed the false flag thing. Just this morning, we had a guest on Fox and Friends, which is the show that infamously the president watches a lot, say that it was a false flag. So the false flag claim is actually bleeding over to more mainstream outlets. I would say if you're looking at, you know, more mainline conservatives, a lot of their tactic is not to go false flag because they don't want to, you know, look like a conspiracy theorist. But they're saying, oh, well, you know, both sides are to blame for this, or Democrats are to blame for this because, you know, of their rhetoric. And what they're really doing is drawing a false equivalence to between an incident like this, you know, pipe bomb spree, and then something like where people yell at Mitch McConnell in a restaurant or yell at Ted Cruz in a restaurant. And it's like, well, you can disagree with, you know, whether that's a good thing to do for, you know, people to interrupt people's dinners. There's really no equivalence between that and sending bombs, but that's basically they're trying to create the reality that is just kind of a both sides type issue.
And then can you talk about, you know, having spent many, many years following this right-wing extremist media, were you surprised when you started seeing this news, and what do you think it bodes potentially for the future?
Was I surprised by the pipe bombing or by the messaging?
Pipe bombing.
Oh, you know, I honestly am not that surprised. You know, there's just been a number of, you know, very high profile right wing inspired violent incidents over the past few years. And actually, you know, dating back the past couple of decades, you know, I'm thinking about Charlottesville. I'm thinking about the men who were arrested, who were going to blow up an apartment building where lots of immigrants lived. A man who, you know, went on a racially motivated attack in New York City and killed an African-American man with a sword, you know, the Charleston church shooting. So, you know, it's definitely very scary that, you know, this is happening, but it seems to just be an extension of these incidents that we've had, you know, for several years.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Timothy Johnson, a research fellow with Media Matters, was our guest. Thank you for being with us. Also, just to correct David Neitwert, our previous guest, the full title of his book is Alt America, The Rise of the Radical Right in the Age of Trump.